I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead. Westworld. No, that's the West Wing. Westworld. There have been many podcasts which seek to analyse the complexities, the depth, the plot lines, the hidden story arcs, the beauty of these productions. Quite simply, the world doesn't need another one, which is why we're applying that level of discussion to the bottom of the televisual barrel and scraping it with a weekly celebration of The One Show! Welcome one and welcome all once again to The One Show Show, a podcast that kneels down behind TV's The One Show while our mate pushes it over us backwards. I am John Holmes, and once again we've been sucking up BBC One's The One Show through our eyes like it was a Bush Tucker trial off of I'm a Celebrity, except instead of a cocktail of vomit fruit and fish guts and whatever it was that Ant drank before he crashed his car into that other car, we're knocking back their heady mix of green sofa guests, forecourt folly and utterly pointless films about cycle lanes or feeding bread to swans that the flagship early evening magazine show saw fit to pass off as entertainment this week. So much to get through. This week, a man laughed through the pain of childbirth, the actor Rob Lowe is ambivalent about a plumage, and a confused granddad was forced at excited presenter point onto a motorbike. And joining me to unravel it like a shoddy Christmas jumper is regular The One Show pony Mark Haynes, and for the first time, actor, comedian, woman of substance, kind of like the opposite of what The One Show contains, it's Rosie Holt. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. Clapping there. So, question I always ask first, Rosie,
yes,
is this. Have you ever watched The One Show before you were forced to do so for this?
No. No, this was the first time. I'm so excited. I'm going to do it every week.
Right, yes. Well, what a baptism of... I tell you, it's not really powerful enough
to be shower
fire.
Of shit.
A baptism of a shower of shit.
Shower of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did
yeah.
you start?
I started with Wednesday's one.
Ooh.
With Mick Hucknall.
Yes.
And then I went back because... I downloaded them on my phone, and you know, it depended
yeah.
what struck my fancy.
Yeah,
depending
did
on
Hucknall
line I was
hook
on.
You in at first of all?
Oh, it was so horrible.
I mean, he's hooked a lot of people in, hasn't he, Hucknall? If the rumours are to be believed.
I was trying to work out the point where he became like abominable. And I think it was that moment he got that fucking ruby fitted in his tooth.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I just remember. Do you remember the video, the fairground one, where in the music video he like takes off a woman's fake eyelash, and it's really gross.
And I don't recall
any specific moment.
He takes off. It's not the
really,
grossest thing I think he's possibly done.
It
is
really
all I'm going to say. He took off a woman's fake eyelash.
But it was all creepy, and I didn't like
it. Creepy.
And I remember my mum going, "Oh no,
oh dear." And the ruby in his teeth thing. Right, as if he wasn't red enough already. I mean, what was... Why?
Do you know what the other thing is? Nobody has ever done it since. And that really shows that everybody thought it was shit.
And that he's not a trendsetter.
Should we, first off, we've mentioned it before on here.
It's worth saying he also looks like he's been boiled alive. You know,
Martin McCutcheon, this is what I was going to say. Martin McCutcheon was famously sick in his hair.
Yes, I only found out about this when I was telling someone about it. I never knew.
Yeah,
in the back of a cab.
And then he had to cut his hair off. Did she, like, projectile? She must have vomited upwards.
Well, they're in the back of a cab. For reasons we will not speculate.
Lovingly on her lap?
I think there may have been a love interest moment. I don't. I'm speculating. I don't know.
I think certainly it was reported in the tabloids.
As such.
That there was
a liaison.
An affair of the heart.
Yeah, exactly. And it turned into an affair of the dreadlocks, didn't it? Okay. Where she was sick in his hair instead. In many ways, it's like he's been boiled alive in her vomit.
That is actually the way that I've chosen to die. Yeah. If I get to choose my own manner of death, it would be boiled in Martin McCutcheon's vomit.
Like one of those 80s films where they're like, and then they kind of grow into a McCucknall.
Are you suggesting that the 1982 John Carpenter classic, The Thing?
Yes!
The thing that came out of the ribcage of the man was a bit McCucknall.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing you'll be best remembered for.
So, okay, now, Wednesdays was an interesting one.
Because so interesting.
For me, it was peak one show, because there was something of everything in this episode. And I didn't even, for the first time, fast forward through any of it till about, because it's an hour long, remember, it's a Wednesday, about 50 minutes in. It held my attention, and it's never done that before, for almost an hour.
You know, I looked at that episode on the iPlayer, and it said on it, it's the hour episode, and it had Mick Hucknall and Kirsty Alsop, and I thought, fuck that. I am not touching that with a fucking barge pole.
You made a mistake.
You missed out.
I ended up watching that first video.
Oh, yeah.
About a doctor, about a man who said he was a doctor, who had produced a new drug that he believed could cure cancer in 80% of terminal cancer patients. And they had an old one-show video where a reporter had gone to meet him and challenged him on his medicines and his background. And the best thing about it was he ended it. You know when you sort of go, how did the interview go?
Yeah.
You will always be able to say to yourself, well, I didn't get filmed standing up trying to get the tape out of the camera at the end.
In the end, he didn't take kindly to being put on the spot.
I think that was a horrible interview. And frankly, I'd like to scrub the whole thing. I don't want it to go out. I would like the tape, please. No, I'll smash up the camera.
Excuse me. Take your hands off the equipment. Take your hands off the equipment.
That's what this guy did. It went really badly.
In a near fight.
That was amazing.
But they did a follow-up on him where he pled guilty to a load of charges on the manufacture of unlicensed medicines and money laundering and things, and he was being sentenced. And the police sort of went, it's largely this came about, you know, because of the show that, you know, the one show film.
Yeah. And the one show film was given in evidence.
This is good.
It was good.
They must have been
gripping.
So smug.
They were smug. There was a big air of smug about it, wasn't there?
Because that's a big... I mean, that's what the one show wants to achieve.
Yeah.
It's not going to achieve it with its, you know, duck one, is it?
And this duck is guilty of money laundering and pretending that bread cures cancer. We've got this duck.
It was
a good film, and it was proper old school doorstepping a man. He got irate, you rightly said it, and we love it when we go behind the scenes of the one show. We got to see a cameraman being very polite to the angry man, saying that he's trying to get the tape. It's not even a tape, is it, these days? It's a memory card out of the camera, and the guy's politely going, take your hands off the equipment, and it all got a bit awkward and eggy.
That was great.
Yeah, that was
excellent
really
television.
There was only one bit in it which was a bit weird, and that was that the lady who was presenting it, who I think was called Dr. Salia.
Yeah.
She was at one point wearing a jacket that looked like it was made out of Bungle from Rainbow. It was a really strange... It was a really weird-looking cheap jacket, but it was also massive.
It was shapeless.
Yeah. It made her look like a treasure chest.
I mean, it would have been... It would have been better if she'd just gone the whole hog and put the head of Bungle on as well and chased the man along the street.
It's really good.
I don't remember the jacket.
Oh, the jacket's
I'm
amazing.
You guys, I see beyond the...
So what? So that film, yeah, important. And I wrote down cracking film.
Yeah, there were some good films this week. There were some really good films. You were saying last week about how a lot of the films, it seemed like they're off the shelf because they finished this rickshaw challenge thing and they've got loads to get through. Yeah. And honestly, I saw three films this week that were good. That one.
Yep.
There was one about William Sitwell, the editor of Waitrose magazine,
absolutely,
who met up with the vegan. That was so good.
That was a really good one.
That was really. And the other one that was great was I really liked the one about the men going through labour pains. Yeah. Just because it was so stupid and funny, it really made me laugh.
And it made Matt Baker be uncomfortable, which we're all for, obviously. Well, this was an insight, wasn't it? The way they went into this film. So this was about men experiencing labour pains by putting those sort of TENS machines on them.
They were just electrocuting them.
Yeah, electrocuting men. Yeah.
So women who hate them.
That's right. Their wives, mainly. Yeah. and partners. And Matt said, an insight, he said, I watched this film earlier this afternoon. Now, we assumed, up to this point, that they never watch these films, not even when they're on in the studio.
Mm.
But it turns out he watched it in the afternoon. Now, I don't know whether it's because it was that particular topic that Matt thought, all right, male pregnancy pains, what is this? So he did. I don't know.
Women of Britain, get your guys. It's payback.
Yes. Yeah.
It's payback.
When I first saw this film that we're about to see, I watched it this afternoon and I still haven't made my mind up about it yet. So, lads, brace yourselves. Here we go.
But what we learned was that people had different motives for taking the pain.
But one thing fathers-to-be don't have to go through is the physical pain of labour. Until now.
The laughing guy particularly.
Yeah.
I mean, he was in a lot of pain, but laughed his way through it.
He was a bit like a evil villain, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Sort of laughing till the end.
His wife wanted revenge on
because she'd had five kids.
That's right.
And the last one, he'd sat eating Pringles and was like, well, this looks easy.
In the car outside. Yeah.
But it's Tim who has an unusual way of dealing with the pain.
All right. Good. If you need to make noise, just make noise. Don't try not to suppress it if you can. That's it. You're doing well.
You know when it hurts because he starts laughing.
I've never had someone laugh before.
There's a bit where they'd put a belly on him so that he could mimic being pregnant.
Yeah.
And they'd say to him, now clear up with all these toys, you'll see how hard it is. And he sort of went, oh, not too hard. He said, I hope this is the hard bit. And his wife just went, I hope not. Straight in there. I really like this. I thought it was funny. I thought the woman who did the tensing machine as well, she was saying she'd been, you know, she'd had a baby as well, so she knew what it was like. And when she was putting it on them, she was visibly chuckling. It was properly good.
Yeah. And then the William Sitwell film, right? So this was obviously not off the shelf either.
My name's Celine Nelson. I'm a journalist, a food and travel writer, and I'm also a vegan.
My name's William Sitwell. I'm a food writer, I'm a critic on MasterChef, and I used to edit a magazine for Waitrose.
It started as a simple pitch from a young journalist to one of the biggest food magazines in the UK. Celine Nelson emailed the editor of Waitrose Food, suggesting a regular column on vegan cookery. Sounds pretty straightforward, but she received a rather surprising reply.
Hi, Celine. How about a series on killing vegans one by one? Ways to trap them, make them eat steak and drink red wine? William Sitwell.
Celine revealed the exchange online. It became a huge national story. And within 24 hours, William had resigned.
So this was based on a very recent news story where the editor of Waitrose magazine had replied to, it was in all the papers, replied to a freelancer's email.
Within 24 hours, he'd resigned.
She made it public, didn't she? She put it on Twitter or something.
That's right.
She did. I mean, I don't really cry about Waitrose editors being fired, but I do sort of go,
isn't it?
Who cares? Oh, it was just a silly joke.
Yeah.
You know,
but in this culture, Mark, this day and age.
I bet you were furious about it.
If I say now, I want to see all vegans dead, I want to see them nailed to that giant cow from the news last week.
And you can write to John at BBC Radio Kent.
Let's see if I'm fired from this podcast. That's my podcast. It could probably happen.
If you fired yourself, you might get some credit back from the vegans. vegans. That'd be the thing. The woman who was talking to him, you know, she was saying, I wasn't that offended by it, she said. I mean, one of the first thing you have to develop as a vegan is a sense of humour. And I was thinking, this story
is... Did she have a sense of humour?
It's slightly sort of showing that that is not true. But she was also really excited to meet him, wasn't she?
Well, it was really weird. It was like a weird date.
A month on, Celine and William have agreed to a lunch date.
Celine has changed the course of my life, which is quite monumental.
It feels like a really strange first date.
Meeting Celine is not something I'm terrified about, but I'm excited to meet her.
I was rehearsing, what do I say?
They're meeting at what claims to be London's first vegan pub.
Very nice and green.
Thank you.
William Celine William.
And the sort of underlying hate, but they were sort of polite with it. It was very odd.
Did you notice how weird the edit was? So if you go back and have another look at it, and we can probably hear a bit of it now, but the editing was clearly, they engineered what it became in the edit, because I think there was a lot more rowing going on that they didn't want to show on a family-friendly one show. Because the edits were really tight and really interesting, and people would cut off mid-sentence.
Yes, there was a lot of that.
And you could just, and then the shot would change, and you think, this isn't how that conversation went at all. They've just picked the nice bit.
You know, you made those emails public. He lost his job.
He did lose his job, yeah.
What do you say to him?
I'm sorry you lost your job, William, but, that's what happens when you write really rude emails.
Okay, you say, I'm sorry you lost your job. That's what happens if you write a rude email. I mean, half the people in this world would have lost their jobs because of a stupid, flippant thing.
Did he deserve to lose his job over that?
It's a hard question for me to ask. I didn't think it would happen, so that would probably mean no.
I don't blame Celine for it. The fault lies with me for my crass response to your email. You know, I'm sorry.
I have noticed.
We need to get hold of the unedited version.
Yeah, that's what I want.
These are explosive.
Yeah. This is, if you are listening from the One Show edit suite, please send us the unedited version of that film.
I have noticed, actually, sometimes when I've been clipping sound clips out, I always work really hard not to cut anything out, because I think that could get us in trouble because we're no longer reviewing, which is what we're doing here. Yeah. It's very clever. When you hear the bits of the One Show, we've often talked about them, so that means legally we can put them out because we are reviewing it.
That's right.
Yeah. That's an interesting bit of behind the scenes for everybody, for all the boys and girls. But often when I'm taking those out, when you're listening to it on your headphones, you can hear that there's edits within them, and everything is edited. And I think it's just that thing of, you've got to tell quite a basic story in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So they do drop.
I think
things.
That's true. But this one jumped out at me, I think, more. And I was just aware that it seemed not disjointed, because they've done quite a good job on it, but it was like, this is not the full story here. The intonations were wrong. So he hadn't finished a sentence. He got to a word that was okay. And you think after that, he probably got cross.
Yeah.
And they just cut that out. So it was just a weird, disjointed load of editing. It was interesting that the One Show got involved in what was a big national story.
Yeah.
And I thought, what a great, they should have made more of this.
Yeah.
Because that was a big story, and they put them together.
Yeah.
So that should be
amazing.
Bigger than just the One Show.
Definitely. But then again, it's prime time BBC One, isn't it? If you're going to do it, you might as well do it there.
Yeah, I saw they tweeted it. They did a Twitter thing.
It was a good film. I did think it'd be funny if when they'd gone in there, because he'd done, you know, lost his job for saying, I think, you know, what about killing vegans one by one? If they'd have said, we've got them together, and he just walked in and he just stabbed her in the throat. That would have been hilarious.
With one of Maisie Williams' knives.
And he'd have gone, do you know what? It started off as a joke. It's not a fucking joke anymore. And then he turned to the camera and just gone, vegans, if you're out there, I'm coming for you.
Yeah.
And then he just knocked the camera down on the floor.
Well, no, not before plunging his hand into a ribcage and eating her heart.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Julia Rayside, and I'd like to invite you aboard my podcast. Always There is the only podcast to navigate through every single episode in order of the 1980s seafaring soap opera, Howard's Way.
I mean, if we're talking lacquer, we need to go back to Polly, who's got 28 cans of Elmet.
Dawn. It was definitely feeling horrible that you hadn't done your homework. Yeah. Obviously, Lynn is immediately in a bikini. It's a freezing day in, I'm guessing, February.
I was going to say, that swing pool looks f***ing freezing.
You don't have to love Howard's Way or even remember it. We're going to talk about it anyway, because I think it's brilliant.
Jack still feels very much at sea. I can't help reaching for these puns. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, but it's important.
He doesn't really acknowledge how grave...
What an ocean of trouble.
Thank you.
It is.
This is why we got you on your
very
bloody
free. That's all I've got. I'm leaving now.
Available from your usual podcast supplier. Find us on Twitter at AlwaysTherePod.
Somebody's nicked my bloody boat.
Ready to pop the question?
The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Although, worth saying as well, both of them said that they got death threats as a result of this.
Yeah.
Isn't Britain wonderful?
Well, this is the polarised, fractured world we live in now. But I thought the One Show now could do a series of films where they do solve big disputes.
Good.
So, you know, Israel-Palestine is the One Show gets them into a restaurant, has a bit of a chat, awkward edit.
Do you remember ages and ages ago, they did one where they got a load of people to sit around the table when we thought we were going to have America versus North Korea war?
Yes,
and they took a load of people to like an East London curry house, and they got some people to say whether or not what side they were on. I mean, it was a bit like that. They are doing the disputes thing. Let's do more disputes. More disputes, please.
Cutting out the good stuff.
Yeah. I liked, there was a mixed metaphor in there as well by the presenter who said,
why don't we discuss that over some vegan food? Because I'm going to make you literally eat your words.
Look at this. And I was like, oh, we tried for something there. And we quite got it.
Grasping.
Yeah.
This was the episode with Catherine Jenkins on as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Singer. And the weird, and Mariella Frostrup as well, we should say. That weird bit at the beginning.
Awful.
When they
awful.
Hang on. Narrow it down. I mean, a lot of it was awful.
Awful. This new thing, which all of the daytime shows have become obsessed with.
Yeah.
So I've seen this on This Morning as well, about a woman on YouTube who whispers and crinkles things.
What the hell was that? I didn't know what was going on.
ASMR videos.
Out. Why? What was happening?
It's a thing that stimulates your senses, if you're prone to that kind of thing, called autonomous sensory... I wrote this down. Autonomous sensory meridian response.
Mariella, we wonder, do you know what ASMR videos are? They're online at the moment. Right, OK. So it stands
for... Someone gave me a card.
Yeah, that'll come into play in a second.
It stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response, and basically people whisper and make soothing noises, and it makes the viewers feel all tingly and relaxed. Here's an example now.
OK.
So the first... I do my... Is this...
So this is the thing.
It's
this is
huge.
The thing.
It's huge.
Do you remember get paid to do that?
So the idea of that is it's a creepy, creepy, tiny whispery thing that sends the hairs on your neck.
Like a horror film, but
tiny, but it comforts people. It does comfort people.
Keep whispering, you dirty boy.
I mean, they were rubbing things on a microphone. Do you want me to rub something on a microphone?
But, I mean, the problem about it is it does have this underlying thing, which is the people who are listening to it are not sort of going, that's an excellent piece of whispering. They're going,
are people just getting off on it?
I think they must be.
I don't understand.
I don't understand. But they got, Mariella Frostrup didn't understand as well, because they got her to do it.
Yeah.
And so she was, you know, there's a packet of crisps being crinkled while she sort of throatily did this, what's it called?
ASMR.
ASMR. I mean, it's just bizarre.
Have you got a little something you could do that?
Let's see if it works, shall we?
I could just do this.
Are you ready?
Shall
I start now?
Yeah.
Coming up tonight, we help three men experience what it's like to go through labour.
Come on, rustling.
Also, the story
China Works Reborn in South Wales.
Unbelievable. Oh.
And we talk about my new documentary.
Oh, I love it.
She's got that voice anyway, isn't she? That's why they did it with her.
People just stop being weird. Why can't everyone go back to that thing of going, oh, they look nice. We'll have a nice chat. We'll go out for a meal. Oh, I really like them. We'll do some kissing. Then we'll have missionary sex and get married. Why is everyone weird?
Speaking of weird, Catherine Jenkins sings Stormzy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? What did you make of that, Rosie?
Oh, awful.
Awful.
I liked, also, it was really awkward because they played it and then they all kind of sat there and they were like, beautiful. Oh, lovely.
There was a beautiful, awkward moment, speaking of beautiful, in there when, because this happens sometimes, the guests don't know what's coming next, right? So the guests try and join in a bit. So Mariella, so they played this song she's done, cover version, so it's a sort of Catherine Jenkins dubbed Stormzy song. They were talking about how, you know, not radical, but it just said, wow, Catherine Jenkins, the opera singer, covering the contemporary Stormzy. And then they said, there's another song on your album, isn't there, called Jealous of the Angels. And Mariella Frostrup joined in.
I always associate Catherine Jenkins with, like, people who would spit at you if you didn't have a poppy on. She's always at those sorts of things. But that Jealous of the Angels, it is like the fucking... That's the tattoo on someone who would beat you up's arm, isn't it? It's fucking horrible.
Which is Catherine Jenkins.
Yeah, it is Jealous of the Angels, yeah.
Well, that's it. But Mariella joined in and she did a little joke. She said, who did that first? Run DMC, grasping at contemporary references as she was. There was some laughter in the studio and then Catherine Jenkins went, no, it was for my dad who died.
Oh, yes. And then Mariella trumped it. She went, my dad also died.
When I was 15. I mean, it's not a competition.
She said that as though it was.
What a weird competition.
I just think it's interesting that we both have dead dads.
Yes.
So, if your dad died at a young age, when you were young, write in.
And, send us a photo of you at the moment you found out.
And we'll show some of them on the telly. Yeah.
And you've got the lead single on it is Jealous of the Angels?
Yes, yeah. And that's a really
Run DMC,
emotional song.
Is it?
Very good, Mariella.
That's the next album.
Yeah. But this is a very, very special song for you. When you first heard it, you said how emotional you were when you heard the lyrics.
Yeah, I lost my dad when I was 15 and I've talked about it a lot, but, you know, I didn't get to say goodbye to him because we were given 6 months and he was actually gone in about 6 weeks, 2 months, so I didn't get to say goodbye. And the opening lines of that are about, you know, we didn't realise today would be our last.
Yeah.
So it's a song that I dedicate to anybody who's ever lost anybody dear to them. And when we made the video and put it out on, you know, Facebook and social media and stuff, the response from people who were listening to it and then dedicating it to somebody that they had lost, the stories are just overwhelming. So it's had a really nice connection.
Yeah. So, yeah, as you say, there's so much on this album. There's remembrance, like you're saying, celebration as well.
Yeah.
The next generation coming through. It really is quite a listen.
Beautiful.
And the album, Guiding Light, is out on Friday. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to be talking to Mariella about your new documentary, which is on tonight.
I know this isn't something to be competitive about, but I lost my dad when I was 15 as well.
Really?
Yeah. Very sudden. I definitely didn't get to say goodbye. But no, it was just a coincidence.
I liked as well in the Stormzy thing. They mentioned, they said, so what does Stormzy make of it? And Catherine Jenkins said, I don't think he's said anything about it yet.
She's waiting.
Wise Stormzy.
But she looked hopeful. I think she reckons that Stormzy is going to get back to her.
I think she's always wanted that thing of going, wouldn't it be nice if people my age liked what I did?
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's never going to happen.
But she's always close, though, isn't she? Because she does look like... She looks like an angel, guys.
Oh, yeah, she does.
She looks like...
She does.
That's the only reason I think people know about her, really, isn't it? In, like, you know, if you're young.
Yeah.
Because you don't listen to her music.
No.
No.
I've worked with Catherine Jenkins.
Have you?
Yes.
Ah.
I have.
Is she nice?
Yes.
Oh.
Absolutely lovely.
Did you write Jealous of the Angels?
I tattooed it on her arm. I did work. I can't remember what it was for. I was thinking about this. I thought, I spent an afternoon in a studio with Catherine, obviously singing on her album. and I can't remember what it was for, but she was absolutely professional and lovely.
Oh,
I remember
sure
thinking
she is.
And tiny.
I think also she's the only person that I've seen, Matt Baker, get a bit gooey-eyed over. So there was a bit of her singing, and it came back, and he sort of had a joke, and he went, I sing that every morning in the shower. And he really started going...
Yeah.
sing that every morning in the shower.
You sound just like that. You sound just like Adele.
And no one else joined out, and it was like that's the sort of thing an 80-year-old man would say, that you hear Shirley Bassey and they go, oh, I sing that every morning in the shower. And then there's the picture of her with a train on her dress going down some stairs, and he sort of went, that's a photo that was taken by someone that was stuck behind you. And he was getting,
oh, I'd love to be stuck behind you.
He was getting really, really giddy. And she, the moment it stopped was when she went, yes, so I mean, when my daughter, I've got a 3-year-old, is and he really went, mm. Right, no, she got kids, not interested. Nope.
Oh, it was such an odd.
Like an amoeba, isn't he? You know what I mean? Something a bit sort of wet and asexual about him.
I think he is actually. I mean, in this sort of thing, it's that if there's a little bit of a laugh, he will start almost like acting like a chimp, and he'll start slapping his own legs because he's so sort of excited and doesn't really understand it. The combination worked.
It happened again.
That's so true.
During, what episode was it with Jordan and his granddad? Was that Tuesday?
Do you know what was weird about...
No, it was Wednesday. Wednesday.
Did you notice with that one? So Jordan and his granddad, he was called Ronnie. Mm-hmm. And obviously Matt had forgotten Ronnie's name, so we kept calling him Granddad. About halfway through, and you'd be like, I'm granddad.
So this was a kid. I can't remember, they were from the north. I can't remember where they were from. I don't know. And they're part of a new TV show that I can't remember the name of either, but it's something to do with you learn to sing with some professionals in a studio, la-di-da. Anyway, Jordan had volunteered. Jordan, a kid in his early 20s, I suppose, volunteered his granddad, brought them down to the studio, and granddad, who was just a granddad, I mean, a brilliant granddad, a confused old man.
Lovely.
Who is now thrust in front of, you know, national television, and his kid wants to be a singer. Mick Hucknall's sitting next to them. This is going to be great, all of this stuff. Sprung a surprise, didn't they, where...
They got to sing at the end.
They were in the studio, so in the middle of London, and they went, well, what would happen if, say, you were... Do you fancy this? Because you can say no. And you go, you can't, it's national television.
Yeah.
And this will ruin your programme if they say no. Would you like to sing at Winter Wonderland in Hyde Park? Now. Now?
They literally pushed them on the bikes. It was awful. And Matt was like, goodbye, go on.
So excited, didn't he, Matt?
It was horrible.
The bit where he was slapping his own legs, because you know he likes running around with the rickshaws and shoving microphones and getting up, moving about and people and real life. He got up and he said, come on then. And the doors open, they went out into the forecourt, granddad's having to get a leather jacket on, he's forcing them out there. And this old man who's like in his 90s or so, he did.
They're
going to
do it.
Let's go.
Right,
chaps.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Good luck. Enjoy.
Outside. Motorbikes. Let's get your coat on, Ronnie. Come on, follow me. Hang on. I've got some lyrics here. Take those, Ronnie. You can read the lyrics right there, so you won't have to worry about forgetting the words. All right? So come this way.
Okay.
There we are. Let's get the old coat on.
I am.
Like I said, he's at the other end waiting to receive you both. Okay. I wish you all the best, Ronnie. Enjoy it.
Great to meet you.
All right.
People, farming people.
Oh, yeah, good. Yeah. Jordan, all the best, mate.
Yeah, okay.
All the best. Good luck with it.
Utterly bothered. Going, what are you doing? And he went, oh, if you don't know the words, here they are on a bit of paper.
I've got quite obsessed about old people recently. I've been thinking about this. And like when they have shows where they kind of go, and your granddad's going to sing. So if that kid is like in his 20s, what is a granddad? The granddad is probably a maximum of 80.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like fucking Rod Stewart's age. That's like Paul McCartney. So that thing of going, oh, imagine a granddad singing. If you go to Hyde Park in the summer, you can see seven nights of granddad singing. It's not as special as it used to be.
It's true.
Also, they had a really small crowd, which
they ended the show on it, didn't they?
Yeah.
It was a lot. As I say, Wednesday was a packed show, but this was the big highlight. Was that they got? I mean, it was a good production.
So did you get to see the granddad singing?
Yeah, you did.
In Winter Wonderland,
and with
live.
His grandson.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What did he sing?
God, I can't remember.
As well, they showed them singing Outcast's "Hey Ya" on a bit of a clip.
That was a painful clip, wasn't it?
It's granddad's favourite.
When you
song.
Say it's like a granddad and his son singing "Hey Ya," and they've got Mick Hucknall in the studio, and if you just said Mick Hucknall is singing "Hey Ya," I go, that sounds shit. And when you go two people who are amateurs doing it, I go, interesting. More fascinating.
I can't remember what they sang in Hyde Park.
I can't. It was something. Was it Frank Sinatra? I don't know.
It could have. I don't know. That was. I don't know.
No.
But it, that's how they ended the show. So they did it like. So they got them on bikes, got them to Hyde Park.
Again, I mean, they've got they've got an outside bit at the BBC. Why do they have to go somewhere else?
They'd obviously done a sort of tie-in with Winter Wonderland.
That seems like an unnecessary complication of taking them out of a television studio to put them somewhere that isn't a television studio.
Yeah. Quite liked the ambition, though. I like the idea that they were doing it live, and I like it when Matt gets up and, you know, you see a bit of the corridor and the doors open and shoving them on a bike.
I do like that bit because it means there's something new on the show. There's a bit of movement. You're not just sitting on the sofas talking to people. Oh, I'm all up for that. The Rob Lowe episode was a perfect example of being sofa bound.
Oh, yeah.
Could not escape.
I felt very embarrassed on behalf of all British people that Rob Lowe was sitting there in the one show. And I just thought, oh, Rob. we're not all like this, Rob.
It did the classic Hollywood guest confusion, though. I mean, he was bemused from the word off.
So Rob is fascinated by the concept of the one show.
I love this. This is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
We talk about frivolous Hollywood gossip, and then it's a hard-hitting news piece there about... Storage wars.
There you go.
Storage wars.
But they're talking about... So he's doing a one-man show based on his autobiography.
Yeah.
And they tweeted, because I'd retweeted this several times to see if they got anything interesting, about if you've got a question for Rob Lowe, who's on the one show tonight, then please get into send a little video of yourself asking Rob Lowe a question. They didn't really scream any of those, because I can imagine one. Yeah.
No, they did one, and it was a guy who was the police commissioner of Lincolnshire.
No, he was in the studio.
Yeah, he was in the studio. I didn't see one on the screen.
No, that's because I think most people were sort of
one
saying,
question.
What happened with that underage sex video, Rob? Remember that?
Oh, the guy from Lincolnshire, the policeman, was wearing a white ribbon on his lapel.
Right.
So, you know, you get the red ones are for AIDS awareness. Right. Well, he was wearing a white one. And I looked at what that was because I always like to see if people are
underage
making...
underage girls.
A white AIDS ribbon bow represents purity. It's a symbol of a number of things. One is anti-violence against women and the other is about teenage pregnancy awareness. But it's also to do with a condemning child abuse, which, I mean, I'm not going to wear one of these things, but let's take it as read that most people do condemn child abuse. Okay? I don't feel I've got to wear a thing to make that apparent. So it is all those things which... Rob Lowe in the mid-90s certainly was having issues about.
Yeah.
Do you know this story?
Because
you're significantly younger than we are.
No,
you've grown up in a time where everybody on television or film is a sick pervert. So, I mean, of course it goes without saying.
I'm like, where did it all begin?
It was also that white ribbon. In 2014, a weird sort of pro-male group called A Voice for Men hijacked the white ribbon, saying that domestic violence isn't gendered and we shouldn't forget the male victims. So I'm hoping that the Commissioner of the Lincolnshire Police wasn't wearing it for that reason. I'm sure he wasn't.
Nothing's gendered now, Mark. It's all fluid. Come on. Back to the Rob Lowe video.
So that's the vegans. That's the... I'm not even going to... Do you know what? I'm not even going to list what those groups are because it just opens up a tremendous problem.
They also change on a daily basis.
Oh, God. How are we getting more problematic during the apology?
Because I'm here.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
And on that cliffhanger, part one of this week's The One Show stops at quite, let's be honest, a random moment. But as they say in both showbiz and heroin dealing circles, always leave them wanting more. Part two is tomorrow. It will pick up exactly where this one left off. So leave that last sentence dangling in your head for the bits of The One Show we listen to in life echo in all eternity. Or at least till tomorrow. And they call this sort of thing the future of broadcasting, of course. So subscribe! So like Aerosmith never wanted to, you don't miss a thing.
GreatBigOwl.com
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.